Thanks, Steve. I'm really excited to be here. That was a touch emotional. I love you, Steve, very much. You know, I've learned something so far, and I need to address one of the things I've learned. That is when you have a daughter that is coming of age, and she has a young man that they're keeping track of each other. That, I mean, Sue kind of introduced this idea, and I feel like it is necessary and expected that you can feel free to mention that person by name, right from up front, and sure really appreciate Ethan Miller quite a bit. So nice young man. Got to spend quite a bit of time with him, and really appreciate him a lot. Jared Adams, could you come up front here for a minute, please? Also learned something else, and I need Jared's help here. So in a minute, Jared's going to pray for the message, but him and I actually have a question for you guys today. Do these shirts make us look fat? Jared, do you want to go ahead and pray for the mess? I do.
Please don't be honest. Let's pray. Great God, our King. Lord, you are the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Lord, oh, how great thou art. Lord, I'm so thankful for the time and the effort that has been put into the preparation of this camp, Lord, to the preparation of the messages. Lord, I ask that you be with Mike today as he delivers his message, Lord, that he would be able to speak clearly and concisely. Lord, I pray that that we as your people, Lord, as fun as we, and some freedom that we have, Lord, we do recognize that we are citizens of heaven. And as we recognize that, Lord, we pray that we would be able to edify and encourage one another. Lord, I pray that we would be challenged, that as we return home to our places of where we dwell on this physical earth, Lord, that we would be able to take those things, those challenges, the edification, Lord, that we would go and accomplish your purpose in our generation. And as we return and go out back into the world, Lord, that our faith would be greatly enlarged. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.
Thanks, Jared. I can tell you, moving to Texas, that Texans are proud of Texas. And they are more proud of Texas than they are of America. And my hope is, and there's a reason for that, not just for a little fun, but my hope that each one of us approaches the kingdom of God with greater love than Texans have for Texas. Because it is truly the land that will endure forever. And so just a piece of encouragement for us to get started. My topic today is teachers. You can go ahead and turn to Ephesians chapter 4. But I want to talk for a minute before we do this, that teachers are going to teach. That there's a nature that goes along with it. And that teacher, if you're a teacher, which honestly, I probably identify myself more as a teacher than I would a preacher or anything else, because that's where my passion is. I like to get knee to knee. I like to be able to talk and explain things and to make sure that we communicate and that there's communication that goes with that. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8, it says, "Therefore it says, when he ascended on high, he led captive a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men." I'll pause right there just for a second. I was thinking about this to make sure that we fully understand why this section of Scripture is here. And I thought about, you know, when a gift is given to someone, so say from a husband to a wife, would we agree that the intent is for it to be for benefit to the recipient, that gift is given? My wife, her birthday is in May, and it's close to Mother's Day. And early on in our marriage, I tried to be efficient. And combined, some presents, some gifts with that. I sure wish someone of wisdom had steered me about the negative impact of that decision. But I would tell you, even in those things, there was an intention for there to be good for the recipient. That was the intention of the gift, that there was benefit for the recipient. So when we see that Christ gives gifts, that they're not just arbitrary, again, they're for the benefit of the recipients, which is His bride, the church. Verse 11, and He gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. These are the gifts that Christ has given to the church, and they have a specific purpose and intent that is for the benefit of the body of Christ, and it includes this list right up to teachers, and that's what I'm going to talk about this morning, is teachers. You know, I think of a teacher, and you know, when you Google search as you're doing some of these things, and you get a whole variety of definitions of what a teacher is. Some of them are as indescriptive as one who teaches. Well, that doesn't help us a whole lot. A teacher, and I like this definition, and kind of it encapsulated what I wanted to do. A teacher is one who is able to impart truth and wisdom for life. And so when we think about the body of Christ, and we think about what that teacher is, that gift from Christ to His bride, the church, as that teacher, is that gift of that teacher given to the church is to help her to have wisdom and truth for eternal life. And how to do these things. Teachers, and I think back to my own life and those that impacted me, that taught me when I was young. And as I've gotten older, you know what I found out? I'm still getting taught along the way. How to think. How to reason. How to process, how to learn. Those are things that a teacher teaches. A lot of times we think about a teaching of just a piece of knowledge, but a real good teacher doesn't just teach, hey, right, in 1492, Columbus sailed the ocean blue. That's not what a teacher does. A teacher actually teaches you how to think, how to reason, how to process, how to assimilate information, how to take something and boil it down, so that you understand what the intended message, the intent behind the information is. And teachers are going to teach. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. When you speak enough, you can tell by how much room on the page your notes take up, which, by the way, I will never let Sue look at my notes, ever. I have my own dialect of chicken scratch, which if I write them down and too much time goes between when I've written them down and I go back to read them, even I struggle to read them. So Sue will never be able to see my notes. I can take a look at my page and tell you that I've got about an hour and 15 minutes worth of material. So we're going to move as quickly as possible to make sure that we hit some of these tenets along the way. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28, and God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, administrations, various kinds of tongues. What is in the top three of that list is what? Teachers. You know, it's kind of interesting. You know, in my life, I have listened to, I couldn't even begin to put a number on how many messages, how many sermons I've listened to in my life. But I can tell you that if I had to, in my mind, start to identify those that I recognize as teachers, the names and faces are much easier for me to pull out of that. Because there's an intimacy that goes along with it. There's a connection with it. When that knowledge is being communicated, it strings those two people together. So the importance of teachers that's there. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Paul here talking to Timothy, verse 11, for which I was appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher. For this reason I also suffer these things, but I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. The apostle Paul recognized himself as what? A teacher. See, there's a different thing. Right now, you're going to get a little bit of a combination today, but primarily, this is preaching. And let me tell you what, when I preach, what I hope to accomplish. I hope to send enough information out there that some of this resonates with some of you, that you take that information and you want to look into it more. That's literally what I hope for when I'm preaching a message. When I'm teaching someone, I would tell you that the intent is, this is the information that I want to make sure that is understood, that is communicated, and that we understand it. Communication, if one person speaks and the other person understands, that is not communication. That is not. Communication happens when information is understood. That's when communication actually happens. I want you to think about something a little bit different. A couple years ago in Williston, we taught about parenting. And I can tell you one of the things that's important to do as a parent, you need to make sure your child is in receive mode when you're communicating, right? My son was little, and I was trying to communicate information, and I knew this, right? The eyes are the window to the soul, right? And I knew that he needed to be looking at me to receive information. And so he was having trouble focusing. So I gently took his small little head in my hands, and I positioned us, you know, about 6-8 inches apart. And I was ready to communicate information. Now, where do you think his eyes that were not immobilized by my hands were? Anywhere but on mine, right? He was not in receive mode. And that's something that I had to recognize right there. I could have tried my hardest to communicate with him, but if he was in receive mode, guess what's not happening? The transfer of information is not happening. I can tell you this. This is a little parenting. By the way, I almost said it. I'm so sick and tired of people looking for hacks. What happened to just hard work? Seriously, enough with the hacks. But if you want to know something that works, if you have a child, change elevation. Come down to their level. So I want you to think about something. When you're teaching someone who is less mature in you in a topic or in the faith, make sure that you approach them on their level. Because the communication changes when you're on their level with them. It's a powerful tool. Because even when I did this right now, every one of you focused on me more than you had at any point since I started talking, except for when I mentioned Ethan's name. That's a fact. I changed elevation, and right now, I'm at close to the same eyeball level as most of you. And you know what happened? You automatically adjusted, and you opened up to that. That's one of the things that you can do when we're talking about teaching, because if we're going to teach someone something as important as the gospel, that really the reality is the separation is as wide between understanding and not as understanding as heaven is hell. Don't you think we want to be effective in our communication? And I'm not talking about how good of a speech you put together. I'm talking about the transfer of information and understanding. Because teachers are going to teach. Important thing with that. Acts chapter 13. It's not what you express that's as important. It's what the other person understands that is important. I just came from Minneapolis, Minnesota. I work for a company and that we represent a large engine manufacturer that builds diesel engines that go in luxury yachts. Hundreds of millions of dollars. What I just said to you, it's not what you express that's important. It is what the other person understands that is important. That is a direct quote of a large customer of the manufacturer of those engines that owns several luxury yachts that they take people out in the ocean on cruises. And when an engine goes down on a boat in the middle of the ocean, you know what you do? You float. And he's from a different country. And the company that we represent, they're from Germany. And let me tell you what also doesn't translate across cultures, by the way. Jokes don't export very well. Not about what you say, not about what you express, but what the other person understands. See, important thing in teaching. You want to know who's a master at that? Our Lord Jesus Christ. You read through the Gospels and you know what you see? You see a guy that knew how to teach and how to communicate with people regardless of the level that they were at. The importance of teaching. Acts 13, verse 1. Now there were at Antioch in the church that was there prophets and teachers, Barnabas and Simeon, who was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, a Manaean who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. And while they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work which I have called them." Then they, when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent away. Who was there? Who laid hands on them? Prophets and teachers. Teachers have authority. I would say that they have a diminished authority in our current government school system. But for the most part, teachers have authority, right? Are they recognized by the Lord Jesus here as having authority? They were those that laid their hands on them and sent them out, along with the prophets, which were gifts given to the church by Jesus for the equipping of the saints so that they would all attain to maturity in Christ Jesus. The importance of teachers have authority. 2 Timothy chapter 1. I read that already, didn't I? That's two times in my notes. Cool. All right. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Verse 19. For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a slave to all, that I might win the more. To the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might win Jews. To those who are under the law, as under the law, though not being under the law, that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without law, as without law, though not being without the law of God, but under the law of Christ, that I might win those who are without law. To the weak I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I may by all means save some. And I do all things for the sake of the gospel, that I may become a fellow partaker of it. If we have a break in communication that makes it difficult for that information to transfer, teachers are good at being relatable to those around them. That's a gift that goes with that. I'm going to give you an example of what that looks like. If I say something like, "Pass me the ball," what immediately comes into your mind? Go ahead. This is interactive. It's towards lunchtime. Basketball. Okay, what else? Football. Okay. Baseball. Okay. Most Americans, this was impromptu, by the way. I saw him outside and said, "Hey, make sure you bring that thing in with you. So don't get him in trouble, Dad. I requested that he bring this in and cause this disruption." Couple things here. As people who have primarily lived in the United States of America, when you think about pass the ball, a lot of times you think about football, right? You actually think about American football. Do you know that the majority of the population of the world, when you say pass the ball, this thing does not have this funny shape. It's round. Is that right? looks more like a soccer ball to us as Americans. But to the rest of the world, you know what it looks like? A football. Communication, make sure that it's relatable and understandable. Teachers do that. Is that important in the church? Look, if you're speaking a language to me that I don't understand, the communication breaks down. How important is it that we recognize and we relate to those that are with? I learned some skills along my journey. And I can tell you this, the first time I meet people, I immediately start cataloging things about them. And if I ever go into your home, I'm going to scan and take a look at what's there. Seriously. And I don't mean that in a rude, creepy way. What I mean is I want to understand who you are. And you know what I'm going to do? Anything that I see, I'm going to try to use to relate it. So if I walked into Joe Shanahan's house and I saw that football there, what kind of examples do you think I'm going to use when I talk to him? Figure skating. Of course I'm not going to talk about figure skating. I'm going to talk about football, right? And I'm going to use analogies that line up with that, right? If I walk in there and there's a huge quilting ensemble that I know nothing about, but I recognize that there's a whole bunch of pieces of fabric that are cut roughly the same size, I'm going to assume that they're quilting. You know what I'm going to talk about? I'm going to talk about things about stitching stuff together and putting the pieces together with it. If I see Mike Martin's only drill in his house, I'm going to assume inappropriately that he's into construction of some kind. And I'm going to talk about some of those things that go with it because I'm going to identify those things. And that's what teachers do, is they learn how to relate. They learn the transfer of information and they make sure that that information is received. Is that valuable in the church? Is that a gift from God? 100%. Because God intends for us to understand his word. And if you go look at the Ethiopian eunuch along the way, he makes a very profound statement when he's asked if he's understood what he reads. He says this, "How can I unless somebody guides me?" And what do you think happened next? Started from that scripture. Preach Jesus to him. Teach Jesus to him. Do you think he stood up in the chariot, made him walk behind it, and was like, "Preach Jesus to him"? No, what did he do? He taught him about Jesus. Teachers are important. Important gift in the body. Hebrews chapter 5. Aristotle has this quote attributed to him. "Those who know, do. Those who understand, teach." Now, let me turn that over for you. If you want to understand things, commit to teaching it. Because when you teach it, you put yourself in the position where you have to defend your premises. And so if you want to understand something, teach it. That's the quickest path to understand some of those things. And by the way, that's not a hack, that's work. It's work. Hebrews chapter 5. "Concerning him, we have much to say, and it's hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing." Talking about Melchizedek, by the way. "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food is for the mature, who because of practices have their senses trained to discern good and evil. Therefore, leaving the elementary teaching about the Christ, let us press on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of instructions about washings and laying on of hands and the resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment." Remember where we started in Ephesians 4? There was a plan that God gave gifts to the church so they would do what? Mature. Grow up. What's he getting on the Hebrews for here? The Hebrew Christians. The people that were entrusted with the oracles of God through the generations. What's he getting on them about? Yeah, you're not mature. Right? Drinking milk. Not wanting the solid meat of the word. Let me tell you something right now. It's easy to get amens when you talk about it's important to be immersed into Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Right? Those are amens, right? Sorry. In other audiences, it's easy to get amens on that. Seriously, someone help me out. Amen. Okay. That's an easy thing to do, right? Because why? It's elementary teaching. Just so you know that a brand new babe in Christ that has been partaken of being immersed into Christ Jesus and he is born again in Christ, he is not mature by definition. He's a baby. Now, what happens if babies stay baby? Is that appropriate or inappropriate in the laws of nature? It's inappropriate. What happens if someone only wants to drink milk for the rest of their life? Is that appropriate or inappropriate? It's inappropriate. Nature doesn't do that. Right? How soon be in nature before mom when the baby comes up to nurse on the mom and mom's like, no. And if you think people are cruel, check out nature. Because it's not like a little like, no, no, you can't. Like it, the boots get put to them. Because it's inappropriate. So he gets on them here and saying, hey, you guys have been entrusted with the oracles of God since the beginning, from generation after generation after generation, and you're hung up on the elementary teachings. Because it's easy. And you know what elementary teachings don't lead to? Maturity. You don't grow up. Think about it. If you're perennially in elementary school, when do you graduate? Never. Your knowledge and learning stops. Our teacher is important to help bring us beyond those elementary teachings. And what's the expectation of somebody who's been taught? This is another nature principle, by the way. From the very beginning, God created them to do what? Reproduce after their own kind. So if you're being taught by somebody and you're a disciple of Jesus and you're growing and maturing in faith, and the command from the very beginning is go be fruitful and multiply and to reproduce after your own kind, what's the expectation for us then? Reproduce after your own kind. And you know what? You don't have to be fancy about it. Some of the best teachers' lessons are super simple. They are. They're not all complicated. I'm not a philosopher. I'll illustrate this for you. You guys ever heard of Jordan Peterson, 12 Rules for Life? Almost murdered me to get through 5 of them. So wordy to get through. I literally, the majority of the rest of the book, I just read the first paragraph, the point, and the last paragraph. I'm not even sure I got all the 12 rules, but I was like, I can't handle this guy. All he does is talk and talk and talk and talk. You know what I like? I like bullet points. That's what I like. I get bullet points. That makes sense to me. Oh, hey, this. I got it. You know what I do if I have a question? We dig into this. Oh, let me understand it. Oh, yeah, okay, got it. We don't have to get overly complicated about this thing. Be simple. Be teachers. And if you're intent on teaching, you know what you're going to do? You're going to be a lifelong learner. How about that? And you know what's going to happen automatically? You're going to move beyond the elementary things and you're going to eat that meat of the word, not just that milk, right? Because the milk does not lead to maturity. It's for the beginning stages of life, not to sustain you all the way through. Importance about teachers. Matthew chapter 22. My plan failed. I didn't have my watch plugged in last night, so my hope was it would already be dead by now, so I wouldn't have any idea what time it is. But it failed. I know exactly what time it is. Matthew 22. But when the Pharisees heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they gathered themselves together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him. By the way, it's no surprise that it's the lawyer that's asking the questions and testing. Doesn't seem like they're any more interested in the truth in their day than they are today. Verse 36, teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? Like, oh, we got him now. Narrow it down. Jesus says, right on. And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And This is the great and foremost commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets. Now, the lawyer asked the question about the law. Jesus communicated the overall intent of the law. The intent of the law was never to keep the law. The intent of the law was to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and might. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. Which, by the way, if you do those things, you know what you're going to do? Keep the whole law. Did Jesus make that really, really simple right there? Because I can tell you this, some of you may be on a Bible reading program and you read through that stuff. And I'm telling you, I read through some of that stuff. You go through Leviticus and you go through some of that stuff. I'm like, my word, how would you remember all this stuff? Jesus is like, let me communicate to you the intention of the law. Love God with everything you got. Oh, and just like it, love your neighbors yourself. And then Jesus goes on a little bit later to teach about what a neighbor is, right? And how does he do that? He illustrates it. Let me tell you about this dude that's got hurt. And the priest walks by him, and the Levite walks by him, and the Jew walks by him, and the Samaritan picks him up and pays for his health care out of his own pocket. The government didn't have to take it from him to do that, by the way. He just did it himself, but it's another side note, right? But he did that for him. And Jesus asked a simple question, right? He said, who's the neighbor? Well, it's not a hard question, is it? The neighbor's not the guy that walks around him, right? The neighbor's the guy that helps him. Jesus says, love God. And oh, by the way, if you want to know about that neighbor thing, this is what it looks like. You love someone more than yourself, and you give up of yourself for that individual. Pretty simple. What was Jesus working on? Communication of information. When he says, what's the greatest commandment of the law? He didn't go like, well, you know, we got the Ten Commandments. Those are pretty important. And we got all this stuff about when somebody's donkey that you borrowed gets hurt. That's kind of cool. And if the axe head you borrowed hurt somebody, there's that part too. You know, he didn't get into all that stuff. What did he say? Love God with everything you got and love your neighbor. Because Jesus is a great teacher. Because he wanted to make sure that the information was communicated and not spoken. Communicated. If you go read, I think it's Mark's account of this passage, this guy was like, hey, I've done all that. I got it. I get it. And Jesus says, hey, you're on your way. Teaching. Let's go to Romans chapter 12. Verse 6, and since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let each exercise them accordingly, if prophecy according to the proportion of his faith, if service in his serving, or he who teaches in his teaching. If you have the ability to teach, what should you do? Teach. Thank you, Sue, for the example that you had yesterday. That due to some things in his life, he's like, man, I'm not sure I'm the guy to teach. When a guy is humble enough to make a statement like that, you know what that tells me? That's the guy I want to listen to. You got the ability to teach, teach. I thought about setting this up. I won't do it for the sake of it. I'm just going to say that there are some of you, if I said, raise your hand if you think that you're not a good teacher, some of you would raise your hand. And I would tell you right now, that regardless of whether you think that you're a teacher or not, you are constantly teaching people around you. You're teaching them who you are. You're teaching them how to do things as they observe. You are never not teaching someone, by the way, unless you're completely in a vacuum somewhere. Really, seriously. You are constantly teaching by the things that you do. Now, what happened if we did that with intent? That changes the outcome of it, right? When I was a young man, there was a basketball player in the NBA that was not an overly exemplary human being. And he said, I'm not an athlete, or I'm not a role model, I'm an athlete. Was he a role model? He was just modeling the wrong things, wasn't he? But 100% he was a role model. Man, we're all teaching. We engage in that. the importance of a teacher as a gift from God. Let's go to 2 Chronicles chapter 15. If you don't love the Old Testament, learn to love the Old Testament. I think about the Old Testament like this. The Old Testament is the illustrations, the pictures of what things look like in the New Testament. Here's some pictures, examples that you can grab onto. 2 Chronicles chapter 15, verse 3. And for many days Israel was without the true God and without a teaching priest and without law. What was part of the priest's responsibility? Teach. That was probably, you don't think they were just out there slaughtering animals all the time, do you? That's all they were doing? What about teaching? How about the why behind why we're doing some of these things? And what happened when there was a lack of teachers? The nation moved away from God. See, teachers, you're the people that influence what people think and how they process and reason and understand. You impart wisdom for eternal life to them through teaching. That sounds like a pretty good gift from God to His bride, the church. How to do life, eternal life. Luke chapter 6. Verse 40. The pupil is not above his teacher, but everyone after he has been fully trained will be like his teacher. What's the goal of a teacher? Fully trained. Here's what I can tell you. I witnessed an interchange last night with Steve Heinbaugh and a couple of young ladies that wanted to go feed cows this morning, which is really cool, by the way. I'll leave them nameless. But there was a question that Steve asked one of them, do you know how to drive the tractor? I can tell you that the rudimentary principle on how to drive the tractor is probably fairly simple, but is it possible that there's some more complicated things that are involved with the tractor than, say, the little remote control kid's car that I don't think works, by the way, because it looks like it runs on human power rather than whatever used to power it. But which one do you think is more complicated in the operations of a tractor with a specific purpose to feed the cows or that little kid's vehicle? This is interaction again. Go ahead, try. Just tractor. Thank you. Whew. Y'all need to stand up for a minute. Get blood flowing. But that tractor, right? So when Steve asked that question, there was part of it that he was really working on an elementary principle of operating the tractor, right? But he's not just going to turn those individuals loose out there because they're not fully trained and they have not become like the master or the teacher in that sense. See, I'm going to tell on Steve for a second here. As he mentioned that he was married to Beth for 47 years and that to her it felt like 47 seconds underwater, I may be able to help you out a little bit with this, Steve, on why she would say something like that. See, Beth had a medical condition where she was in a wheelchair for a while. And Steve helped her get in the house by loading her in the wheelchair in the tractor and loading her in the buck of the tractor. Now, that's something you would hope somebody would be fully trained in if we're moving human beings in the tractor with it. Is he just going to turn that over to the young people that ask, says, hey, after you're done feeding the cows, can you guys get Beth in the wheelchair and just load her up onto the porch out back for me? Is he going to do that? I hope not, because there wouldn't be number 48. That's for sure. Not fully trained. So the goal of the teacher and what's important to him is that they get to the point of maturity of being fully trained. Do we want partial knowledge on how to get to heaven? What happens if we stop at the elementary teachings? Is there more to this than just getting immersed in water? Because there's a maturity that is supposed to come, a fully training that's supposed to happen. Is the gift of teachers from Jesus to his bride, the church, important? Sure is. Fully trained. Okay. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Years ago, I got my Bible rebound. I've had this Bible itself, this copy right here, since 1995. And over the years, it has deteriorated in condition. So a number of years ago, I got it rebound. And I had the opportunity to have an inscription put on the front of it. And so I had what I thought was a pretty good verse. I had 2 Corinthians 5:17 put on there along with my name. I wish that I had had 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16 put on there. It says this, "Pay close attention to yourself and to your teaching. Persevere in these things, for as you do this, you will ensure salvation both for yourself and for those who hear you." That's the verse that I wish that I had put on the front of my Bible, right there. I think that is an incredibly important message, and I term this verse for me, this is for me, this is the teaching myself into heaven verse right here. Because if I pay close attention to it and I persevere in it, not a hack, but work, then I will ensure salvation for myself and for those who hear me. Because it's going to require me to grow up and to be mature in Christ. And I'm going to be able to help transfer wisdom for life to other people. Because teachers got to teach. Important gift to the church, teachers. And the warning, James chapter 3. Verse 1. "Let not many of you become teachers, my brethren, knowing that as such we shall incur a stricter judgment." And they're like, praise the Lord, Mike, you brought that up. We are all off the hook now. What's it actually saying? Get your stuff right. Be right about this stuff. Don't be flippant in your preparation. We don't want to be like those that lead people astray from the truth. And there's a lot of people out there talking a lot of things in the name of the Lord, quote unquote, that have absolutely nothing to do with the truth of the whole gospel of Jesus Christ. It's going to take work to be a teacher, but the rewards are unbelievable. In Hebrews 13, we won't go there, but we're warned to not be carried away by strange teachings. You know how strange teachings happen? People that weren't careful when they decided to become teachers. I love the illustration that Joseph gave about that vinyl plank floor that floats, and you apply the pressure of putting the cabinet on it, and what happens when the heat comes and that floor needs to move and it's not able to do and that thing comes apart? How many people are carried away by those strange winds of doctrine? Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 4. Verse 1. Paul to Timothy. "I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction." I'm going to pause right there for a second. That word instruction is the same root word for teaching. It's about communication, transfer of information. Verse 3, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth, and will turn aside to myths." Important that we persevere in that teaching, be able to reprove, rebuke, exhort with sound doctrine, which, by the way, that's a qualification for an elder from Titus chapter 1. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, a qualification for an elder is able to teach. You think a lot of elder work has to do with teaching? Sure does. You know, I'm not the smartest guy in the world, but I'm getting smarter. And that means that I'm better at recognizing what I don't know and to be able to go acquire that information when it comes to me. Let's go to Galatians chapter 6. Verse 6. And let the one who has taught the word share all good things with him who teaches. I'm going to tell you what I'm most interested in as someone who teaches. I want to hear how something has impacted you or changed you or opened your eyes or supplied a different paradigm to you. That's the most rewarding thing to me, is to know that when we're talking and we're working through something together, that communication has been accomplished and the paradigm, the worldview has changed. That's the greatest thing that you can share with me, is that the labor that we did together is bearing fruit. That is by far the most valuable thing. The only thing that we have of true value is time. And I don't like wasting time. And so when it's communicated back to me that, hey, man, this thing hit home and it made a difference and it caused growth, man, that is the good thing that I want shared with me more than anything else. You know why? Because it helps me to hone my skills and understand, hey, that thing landed. I was going in the right direction there. The communication happened. There was receive and sending that happened with it, and principles were exchanged and understood. Those are the good things that matter the most to me. Let's go back to Ephesians 4. I did pretty good. I cut about a whole 15 minutes off this thing. Verse 11. The gifts that Jesus gave his church. And he gave some as apostles and some as prophets and some as evangelists, some as pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, we are no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. But, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ. I'm going to tell you this. I'm not allowed to say it because I work for a large company and we have a whole department called Human Resources. But I can tell you the single phrase that I want to utter most out of my mouth when dealing with employee situations is grow up. That is the one that I wish I could say. I actually wish I could wallpaper entire sections of our shop with the words grow up on it. The gifts that God has given to His church are so that we will grow up. What do teachers do? Help people to teach and help them to grow up. To grow up. To be mature in Christ. To move beyond the elementary teachings and the meat of the word so that they can grow up into the measure. Sorry, I always get this wrong, so I have to read this. To the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. Thank you for your attention today. I know that this was a combination of preaching and teaching that went with it, but I hope it wet your whistle for teaching. I hope it wet your appetite would be a better way. Sorry, I'm going to wet my whistle in a minute. Hope it wet your appetite for teaching. Hope you understand that how important and critical it is. And honestly, it's something that in Christ, pretty much everyone can do. And it may be in different forms and fashions, but utilize that. And that God, by his great wisdom through Jesus Christ, his son, who wanted to give gifts to his church, the bride, for her good, gave the church teachers. Thank you.